Well, I certainly desire an interest in your prayers. I told the Lord this morning I would just like to set. I appreciate very much the privilege to be here this morning. I appreciate the wonderful love of God. As I listen to that song, I'm thankful for every little blessing. And I couldn't help but think, Lord, thank you for this breeze. Aren't we thankful for that this morning? I told somebody a while ago, I said at home, they were talking about triple digits and how hot it's going to be. And I was just like, Lord, give us favorable, rather, whatever that is that you see. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for all of his blessings. He is so good to us, and he cares for us so much. And I thank him for that. As I was looking to the Lord about what he would have for this meeting, the Lord began to talk to me about a message that it's not a new message. It's a simple gospel message. I'm sure that probably every one of these ministers here have preached on this subject many times. But it seemed like as I was looking to the Lord began to talk to my heart. And he began to let me know, this is what I want from Monarch. And so I want to share it with you. I'm reminded of a scripture in 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John, the second chapter, in the 7th verse, he said, Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Dear ones, truth never changes. It never gets old, becomes outdated or ineffective. Truth will always abide. There's no change in truth. It will always be there. This truth that we have to share with you this morning, it applies to all generations. It applies to every nation, every creed, every race, and every gender. As you study the scriptures and you can look at it from the beginning to the end of the scriptures, you will find a consistent message in the scriptures. This message is conveyed through everything that God does. In his corrections, in his punishment, in his encouragement, in his comfort, in his commandments, in his law. It's conveyed through all of this. I want to turn over here to Psalms, the 19th chapter. In Psalms, the 19th chapter, in the 7th verse, it says here, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Do you know, dear ones, I'm thankful for the Word of God this morning. If it weren't for the Word of God, I wouldn't know how to live. I wouldn't be able to be successful in life without the principles contained within the Word of God. It says the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We've been hearing about some of that, have we not? How that the Word of God, it comes down, and when it gets down into our heart and the Lord begins to visit with us and he witnesses to our soul, he brings things, dear ones, that will rejoice the heart. It causes us to recognize the goodness of God. He said the commandment of the Lord is pure. It's unlike anything else in this world, dear ones. There's a lot of things that are out there, but they're mixed with personal agendas, and they're mixed with this, and they're mixed with that. But the Word of God is pure. He said here, enlightening the eyes. It gives us understanding. When I look out and I see things and I wonder, Lord, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And I see all this and I go back to the Word of the Lord and it begins to open my understanding. Have you ever dealt with people and you're like, Lord, why are they doing what they're doing? And you go to the Word of the Lord and it begins to unlock mysteries, and it begins to reveal. And say, now I know why they're doing it. Do you know, I'm convinced in my heart that it was because of these principles of truth that Stephen of old was able to say when they were there and they were persecuting him, Lord, forgive him. That's not natural, is it? When they were stoning him, but it was because when he looked into the word of the Lord, he said, they don't know what they're doing. Do you know Christ did the same thing? When he looked into the word of the Lord, when Christ was the word, and he recognized, and he looked out on the people, and he saw what they were doing, he could say, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they're doing. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they recognized, if they had spent some time looking into the word of God, they'd recognize, this is the Savior that came to deliver me from all these things. It goes on, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It goes down here, and I want you to notice this 11th verse. He said, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Dear ones, this is the purpose of the laws of God. They are designed and they are intended to help you and I be successful in life, in every facet of our life, in our homes, in our marriages, in raising our children, on the job, in our interaction with our neighbors, with our co-workers, and even to the governing of our nation. Dear ones, if man would simply take the principles of truth founded in the Word of God, I'm going to tell you it would help everyone to be successful. But I'm going to tell you what else they're designed for. They're also designed to help you and I make heaven. Because that is who God is. He loves us, He cares for us, and He wants each and every one of us here to make heaven. There's something else that they're designed for. And they are designed to warn us about the dangers, the snares, the traps, the pitfalls that the enemy has laid for our souls. And I'm going to tell you the reason that they're designed to do that. It's because of who God is. He said here, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I want to write something on the board. And if you don't mind, if somebody could lead that song, number 140. I'd like to. I guess this is the. Just lead it while I'm writing here, if you can.
That the Lord our God is love, God is love, God is love. Song of angel choirs above, hallelujah, God is love. Paradise now helps to swell his saints on earth afar. Go tell his Satan's host can never quell. If for the Lord our God his love.
Thank you. If you can't read my writing, hopefully I spelled all this right. If you can't see what I've written the words on the board. The end of the commandment is charity. I don't know who all is here this morning. Don't know who all is listening online. I don't know what your purpose in being here is. But dear ones, I'm going to tell you what God's purpose is. God has a purpose in you being here. And that purpose is, not just in this service, but throughout this meeting, is that God can explain His purpose to you. His will. His reason in doing what He does. In requiring what He requires, and because of who He is. And it's what we just sang about. It's because God is love. This is the reason why that He wants you to be here this morning is because God is love. All that He is, all that He does, is based on this simple principle of God is love. Even if you're here this morning for some other reason, you might say, Brother Curtis, if you only knew why I was here. Dear ones, even if your purpose was a nefarious purpose, and you had wicked motives and purposes in being here, if God permitted it to be so, it's for one purpose. And that is because love permitted it to be so. Do you realize that God could have prevented it had He wanted to? Do you remember the story of Job? I'm sure most of us do. Even Satan himself could not touch Job until God lifted the hedge of protection that he had about Job. I want to stop here for a minute this morning, dear ones, and I want to encourage our hearts. God has a hedge of protection around each and every one of us here this morning. You might say, even the sinners? Yes, even the sinners. God has a hedge of protection around each and every individual here this morning. Were it not for that, dear ones, Satan would utterly destroy you. There is not a one of us here this morning that could withstand the onslaught of the enemy of our soul were it not for the mercies of God. When you look, and I won't go over there, you know the story of what Jesus told about the man that was legion. He had those spirits, and when the Lord gave leave to those spirits and they went into those hogs, what did they do? They ran violently down that mountain and they were destroyed. Dear ones, without the mercies of God, there's not a one of us in here that could withstand the onslaught that the enemy has for us. His purpose is to destroy each and every one of us this morning. Now, for those that are saved, I want to encourage you. That hedge of protection is there because of the love of God. And dear ones, I realize we're facing lots of things in our world today. There's all kinds of fears and there's all kinds of things that the enemy is trying to take and fill our hearts and minds with fears. But as the songwriter said, there's nothing that can touch us but what must come through His hand. Dear ones, it doesn't matter what happens. It has to come through God. To those that are here or that may be listening that are not in the place that God would have them to be, and you stepped outside of that place that God has ordained in His Word, I want you to know what you're doing is you're stepping outside of that hedge of protection. But you know, even then, God in His love is holding the forces of evil back. Even though you and I are willfully disobeying God and going our way, if it weren't for His mercy, it's like, to me, I could almost vision God as a child that's going away and I'm not going to go. And the Lord's right there. I'm just hovering. Yes, you're on the enemy's territory, but I'm going to try to keep him off as much as I can. Dear ones, that's because of who God is. He is a God of love. I think about Job. God had a purpose, dear ones, in permitting Job to go through what he did. Yes, Job had to suffer. And yes, you and I are going to be permitted sometimes to also go through some things. But I want you to get a hold of this. It was because of the love of God for Job. Think about it. God looked upon Job and he saw in his life and he's like, Job, I know you love me. I know you're an upright and an honest man, but you only see so much. I've got depths that I want to bring you to that you have not even begun to glimpse. And the only way that Job could get to that place was he had to go through some things that caused him to lay aside his own thinking and himself. And he had to lay aside some things that he got to a low place where he could look up and behold the wonderful love of God. Dear ones, I'm convinced this morning that God has depths for each and every one of us in here that we've not reached yet. And the only way we're going to reach Him is we're going to have to be willing to go through some things that God in His great love and mercy looks down and says, Curtis, I see some things in you. You're going to have to go through something because I've got something much better for you. Dear ones, if God permits something into our lives, it's because He wants to bring us out to a wealthy place, just like He did Job. But you know, God's purpose in allowing Job to go through what he did was not just for Job. It was for his three friends. Now you might say, well, Brother Curtis, Job, the Bible tells us, he was an upright man. He was a man that eschewed evil. He feared God. And these three friends, they came along and they falsely accused him, and they were a real trial to him. Why would God allow this to happen for them? I'm going to tell you why. It's because he loved them too. Do you know, I can't help but believe that those men, those three friends, really had good intentions. They saw what Job was going through. He was suffering. And they looked at that from their own human wisdom and said, Job, surely somewhere you sinned. And so they came and they began to give him counsel and advice. But what it did was it just heaped more trouble upon Job. Do you know, I'm convinced this morning that there's a lot of people that are doing things that they have good intentions. They may be coming against the people of God. They may be taking and doing things in your family and in your life. They may be saying things and doing things in your life. Lord, that's the last thing I need to deal with right now. I'm going through this heavy burden, and somebody comes along and they begin to say things, and you're like, Lord, why did you let this happen? Do you know, I'm convinced many times they mean well. But dear ones, I want you to know God loves them too. And so he allowed Job, he saw in Job's life, if I can just get Job to this deeper depths, there's an opportunity for them to be saved. And so he allowed his servant to go through some things to get him to a place because he loved those souls. Do you know, dear ones, God didn't just do it for Job and his three friends. He did it for each and every one of us in here this morning. Do you know God looked down through the generations and he saw your time and my time? How many of us have gone through trials and battles in our life? And as we did, the Lord brought us back to the story of Job. And that brought comfort. And we said, Lord, I ain't going through anything like he did. I didn't lose all of my children. I didn't lose all of my wealth and everything else. On top of that, I'm not afflicted from head to toe like he was. I'm going to tell you, you only have to look around to realize somebody else has got it worse. And God, in his great love and mercy, looked down through the generations to our time, and he permitted one of his children to suffer for your sake and for mine. Why is that? It's because of who God is. It's because he loves us. Do you remember the story of Paul? He was Saul at the time. And there on the road to Damascus, before this, he had been persecuting the people of God, doing all these kind of things. And he came, and as he was going to continue that work of persecuting the saints. And you know the story and how the Lord met him there on that road and shined that light upon him. And he called, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who is it, Lord? He said, it's Jesus whom thou persecutest. He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Do you know, dear ones, I am fully convinced that God in his great love permitted his children that were persecuted by Saul to go through what they did. And it was because of his love. You know how that the scriptures tell us that as Saul was persecuting the church, what happened? The church, the people of God, began to flee for their lives into all these other countries and nations. And what did they do? They carried the gospel message. And there were souls that were saved. Dear ones, I'm convinced that God loves souls so much that if it takes allowing His children to go through something in order to carry the message to them, God will do it. It may be trials, it may be affliction, it may be persecution, it may be some of the things that we're facing in our world today, but I'm convinced, dear ones, God is looking upon souls and He loves them so much, He's willing to take and allow His children, just like He did His Son, to go through some things in order to win their souls. But you know what it did also? God did it because of His love for Paul. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Do you know, I think about Paul, and we've heard this before, but as he took and he came into settings like this, into homes where people were worshiping, and he hauled them off to jail, he had some of them killed, he had them persecuted, he separated families. Do you know, I cannot help but believe that as he did this to the true saints of God, he saw something in them that pricked his conscience. As he saw and he stood by as Stephen was stoned to death, and he saw Stephen with that radiance on his face looking up and saying, Father, forgive them. Lay not this charge to their cause. I am convinced that as Paul stood there, he's like, how can he do that? I couldn't do that. Have you ever said that? Have you ever watched somebody going through something and said, I don't know how you handled it like that? I had a man come to me one time at work, and we were in a meeting, and the company had made a decision on something, and I had passed it out to the team, and the guys did not like it at all. And they were upset. And they came, and they began to rail out in that meeting. It wasn't me. It was the grace of God within me. And I was able to deal with it. And I told them, I said, guys, I'm sorry, but this is what the company said, and we're going to follow it. It wasn't a matter of right and wrong. It was something they didn't like. And I had a man come up to me later, and he said, I don't know how you did that. And I said, well, I can tell you, it was because of God. I couldn't do that within myself. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if it wasn't for God, you and I would do just what's happening in our world today. When people come against us and they rail against us, our temptation of the flesh is to rise up and say, whoa, wait a minute. You can't do that. I've got rights. You see what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you, and what I want you to get a hold of, is if God permits something to come into your life and mine, it has to come through His hand. And dear ones, if it comes through His hand, He's got a purpose in it. And we can frustrate the purpose and the grace of God if we rise up carnally. But I'm going to tell you, if we'll humble our hearts under the mighty hand of God and say, Lord, I don't know why this is coming. I don't know why I'm suffering this. But Lord, I trust You. I trust Your wisdom because I see a vision of a wonderful love of God. And I'm willing to go all the way with You. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you do that, God will be able to accomplish His purpose just like He did here with Paul. You can find that in Acts, the ninth chapter. Do you know the same thing happened with Saul and David? Do you know there was many times where Saul was chasing David? And it looked like he would get so close that surely he would be able to catch him and kill him. But you know, each time that Saul got so close that it looked like surely he was going to get him now, he couldn't because God intervened. And you know why that happened? You say, well, God was showing His love to David. And He was. But dear ones, I'm going to tell you, God permitted Saul to get so close to David that he could reveal His love and His mercy to David and to Saul. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Curtis. I can see where the Lord protected David, but Saul was rejected by God. And he was to be king. Because Saul disobeyed God. And so God, because of that disobedience, it brought judgment. And He rejected him from being king. But I want you to know something. God still loved him. he still loved him. And I am convinced within all my heart, dear ones, that God did everything within his power. Even though he rejected Saul from the place that he was in as a king, I am convinced that God did everything within his power to show him his love and mercy in order to save his soul. And dear ones, I bring that out this morning because if you're here or you're listening online and you find yourself in a place where you've gotten away from God, and you may have even been persecuting the people of God. You've been taking. We heard last night how there was something that rose up and caused them to rebel. I'm going to tell you, when you go down the path that the enemy has for your soul, it'll cause you to do things that you think you wouldn't do. And I want you to know, though, this morning, if that's where you're at, God still loves you. God cares for you. And dear ones, God will permit his children to go through things. He'll permit other things to happen in your life to bring you to a place to see the wonderful love of God. Because that's who God is. Sometimes when we look at these kind of stories, we wonder, Lord, why did you permit this? Why did you let that happen? What was the purpose of this? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's because of the wonderful love of God, if he permits it. You know, I've heard people say, if God is truly a God of love, like you say, why would he let a person go to hell? Do you know the reason they ask a question like that is because they don't know God. They don't know God. Because God is love. Dear ones, when you think about it, and I've thought about this different times, how do you explain this? Do you know God is a holy, a righteous, and a pure God? There is no sin in him. There's no evil. There's nothing associated with God that is wrong. Satan, on the other hand, there's nothing good. It's all evil. It's hatred. It's bitterness. It's the works of the flesh. It's everything that is wrong. The two will not blend. Brother Marty and I were farmers, and we had cattle, and we were raising them together, and like Joseph of old, Laban, if I told Brother Marty, every cow that is streaked or spotted, it's yours. Every cow that is of a solid collar, that's whole, it's mine. Do you know when it comes down to the place where we begin to divide up those cows? As much as I can look at one of those cows, it's ring streaked, and it looks like a wonderful cow, and I want it, I can't have it because it's his. Do you know that's simply the way it is with God? God is not taking and just casting people in hell because that's what he wants to do. He is taking in everything within his power. His laws, remember, are designed and intended to help you and I make heaven. To live in a way, dear ones, that's pleasing to God. But I'm going to tell you, God is also a God of love. And because of that, he will not force us to do something against our will. And so when you wonder sometimes, Lord, why did you let this happen? Do you remember Balaam? Most of you know the story of Balaam, so I won't turn over there. Maybe I will too. It's in Numbers, the 22nd chapter. Do you know the donkey in this story was not able to go forward because the angel of the Lord stood in the way? Do you know, I think the Lord would have us to pray, Lord, have mercy on souls. The angel of the Lord was there to hinder him from going about the purpose that he wanted to do. And you know, my prayer is, Lord, hinder those that are headed down a path of destruction. Somehow, in your mercy, hinder them. Keep them from going the way that in their minds they're wanting to go. When you look at this, Numbers, the 22nd chapter, and I'll just start here in the 32nd verse, and it says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse unto me." Dear ones, I want to tell you this morning, there's a lot of people whose ways are perverse before the Lord. They're doing things that are an offense to a holy and a righteous God. They're doing things that grieve the great heart of God. When you look at the child abuse, you look at the hurt from broken homes and marriages, you look at the evil that's happening because of all the other things that are going on in the world, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it grieves the great heart of God. And he said here to Balaam, he said, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse. Do you know, dear ones, God loved Balaam. Even though he was going down a path that was contrary to what God had told him and warned him of, God still loved Balaam. And he went out and he stood in his path, because his ways were perverse before the Lord. Dear ones, God loves every soul. If you're here this morning and you're going down a path that is not good, if you're here this morning or you're listening and you have determined, I'm going to take my own way, I'm going to choose my own path, I'm going to do it my way, I hear what the saints say, teach, and I see what the Scripture says, but the enemy has convinced you that it really doesn't have to be that way, and you're determined, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if that's your condition, you're in a place like Balaam was. You're headed down a dangerous path. You're headed down a path that will lead to destruction. But I want you also to know that like Balaam, dear ones, the Lord still loves you. He cares for you. The devil will tell you that he doesn't. And you've done something so bad that God doesn't want any part of you. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the devil is a liar. Just like he loved Balaam and he went out and stood in the path and tried to prevent him from going down that way of destruction. Dear ones, God will do everything he can to keep you and I from going down the path of destruction. Because he knows what's down there. The enemy will utterly destroy us. But you know, as I mentioned, God is a God of love. And he will not require us to obey him. He will not require us or force us to serve him. As a God of love, we're going to have to choose to serve him because we love him. Do you know that's what everything that we teach and preach is founded on? I've heard people say, why did the saints require this? And why did the saints require that? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the saints don't require it. What happens is we simply give you the Word of God. We don't require a single soul to be saved. You know that's your choice? We don't require a single soul to measure to the standards of holiness and purity and modesty or anything else. It has to come from a heart of love. Do you know one of the things that separate the people of God from any other people? Is the laws of God are given out from a depths of love. The laws of God are never intended to be used as a club. They're never intended to try to force someone to do something against their will. The laws of God are designed and intended to help you and I be successful in life, in our families, as I mentioned, in our communities, and they're designed to help us to make heaven. And so all the people of God do are teach what is thus saith the word of the Lord. And it's because of a love for souls. But you know, dear ones, I look at this just like Balaam. Even though God loved Balaam, and he did everything within his power to keep Balaam from going down that path, when Balaam determined, I'm going to go, he let him go. And you might say, well, why did the Lord let him do that when it caused such trouble for Israel? What was there, was it 24,000 people that lost their lives among the Israelites because of what happened? You know the story. Balaam told the king, after the Lord had warned him over and over, don't you curse these people. These are my people. And he couldn't do it. Time and again he tried it, and the Lord wouldn't let him do it. But then he allowed, let the king know, here's how you can do it. You take your beautiful young women, you take your handsome young men, and you let them go down and mingle with them. They'll marry them, they'll take them back, and it won't be long, they'll begin to worship other gods instead of the God of heaven. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, our power, our victory comes from obedience to the Word of God. Of a daily walk with God. There is no difference in us and any other people. But if we've got God on our side, who can stand against us? But you see what the devil did? He came and he came in and he brought these things, and people began to marry and they began to look, and this is a beautiful young woman or this is a handsome young man, and their affections went out and they went with them. They didn't know anything about serving the one true God. And so they began to take up their ways. Young people, I want to challenge you this morning. Get a hold of the principles of the Word of God. It'll spare you. It'll help you to be successful in your marriages. You can go out there and you can look and you can say, oh, well, they're such a wonderful person, and they may be. But I'm going to tell you, if they have not been taught the principles of truth that are taught in the Word of God, it's very dangerous. You'll find a few that do come and go, but you're going to find many more that draw away. There are warnings in the Scriptures, dear ones, and remember what they're for? They're intended to help you and I to be successful in life. They're not put there as restrictions to tell you, you can't do this and you can't do that. It's because the great God of love, as He looks out in your life, He says, I want you to make heaven. And I've given you some counsel and instruction that will help you to be able to do that. Oh, dear ones, it wasn't only Balaam's fault that those people died. God had warned Israel just like He had Balaam. He had told them over and over, when you go into this land, He said, don't you do this. Don't make marriages with the people of this land because of exactly what happened. Do you know, dear ones, God knows exactly what the enemy's purpose is. He knows exactly what the devil is doing. And He gives commandments and He gives instructions that are designed to help you and I overcome everything that the enemy throws our way. Why does He do it? It's because He's a God of love. Do you know, I find that here with Balaam. God loved Balaam. And He did everything that He could. But you know, when man chooses not to obey God, there's a penalty for sin. God has warned man ever since the beginning of time. The wages of sin is death. If you go buy that ring strength cow, and that's yours, that cow belongs to somebody. And it's going to be his. If you go get it, if you get the plainness of what I'm talking about, if I go and I say, I want that cow, I like those streaks on it, and yet that cow belongs to Brother Marty, I can't come and get you and take you with that cow and say it's mine. As much as I may love that cow and I may love you, it belongs to him. Do you see what I'm saying? Dear ones, when you and I take the ways of sin, God has put instructions out there to help you and I to see this is where it's going to lead to. Do you know that's what he told Adam and Eve? He said, in the day that you eat thereof, he said, you're going to surely die. Dear ones, God will allow a person, because he's a God of love, to choose the path that they want to go down. He will not force you to change. But you know, even so, I don't want to go on before I mention this. Even though God will allow you to go down a path that leads to destruction, dear ones, because he is who he is, he will take and he'll follow after you all the way down that path. He'll get you right there to the edge if he can, and he'll pluck you as a brand from the fire if he can do it, because he's a God of love. And he will take and he'll follow after you, and he'll do everything within his power to encourage you. Let go of the things that are taking you down this path, because he is a God of love. Do you know the scripture said over there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever saw the three friends of Job, those that are out there persecuting the people of God, those that are out there trying to cause havoc in our society, the love of God reached out to them as well, dear ones. God loves them. And He gave His Son to die for their sins, just like He did ours. He did give His Son to pay the penalty that comes with partaking of those things that are forbidden. And why did He do it? Because of who He is. God is love. Dear ones, everything that God does is based on this fundamental principle of truth. God is love. I know sometimes that people will get in a place and they get away from the Lord, and the enemy will sit right there on their shoulder and he begin to whisper into the ears, God doesn't love you. God's ways are hard. The commandments of the Lord are difficult. But I'm going to tell you, everything that God does, I'm saying this over and over because I want it in our minds, because I know what the devil does. He tries to convince you the way of the Lord is hard. But dear ones, God's ways are based on this principle. God is love. I want to turn now to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I said sometimes we don't understand why the Lord does what He does. Sometimes we hear things. We hear messages. We hear counsel that sometimes our flesh draws back because the flesh wants to take an easier way. But I'm going to tell you, the easier way is not always the best way. And so sometimes we hear things. And I'm going to say this. From what I've heard, and I trust it will be that way through this whole meeting, everything that is of God, dear ones, is founded on this principle of love. Every message that you hear from God will be founded on this principle that God is love. And it's designed and intended, dear ones, to help you to be able to make heaven. Sometimes the messages may come forth and you think, oh, that's close. The Lord comes by and He begins to dig about your heart, and He begins to talk about attitudes, and He begins to talk about how you treat your wife and your children, and He begins to meddle, if you will. He comes down because He knows where you live, and He begins to say, yeah, He sends messages that come right down close, and you say, ooh, how I treated my brother or my sister or the attitude that I had, and the Lord begins to give messages, and you're like, now, Lord, why is this? I want you to remember what He said. Here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 11th verse, He says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Do you know, dear ones, God didn't permit Job to go through what he did for naught. He had a wealthy place for him to come through. And God was longing, because of His great love, to bring Job to that place where he could be more in sync with God, and that the Lord could bless his life and be a blessing to him, and that he could be a blessing to others. It goes up on up above this in the 6th verse. He said, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Dear ones, I'm saying it again. Everything that God does is based on this principle of God is love. Even His punishments. Do you know that's the whole purpose behind spanking? Now, I know some people say, oh, no, and I don't talk about spanking. Do you know that's why the Scriptures teach us to correct our children? It's not because we're a place of authority and we can tell you and you've got to do it because I tell you to do it. It's because of this principle of love. Do you know when you raise your children, they don't know just like we didn't know many of the things that will be harmful and detrimental to them in their lives. And so from a little child, and they go up and they start pulling on something, and you say, well, no, don't do that. They don't have any idea why you said don't do that. That's the first time, and they're like, well, and sometimes they'll go away. But then when they catch you, they'll go back and they'll start tugging on that cord. They'll start pushing, you see, because they're learning. They don't understand. And so the principle that God taught in the scriptures of parents, their responsibility to train up their children in the way that they should go, part of that comes with punishment, with spanking. And so what happens is you look at your child and you see them doing things and you say, no, no. And it progresses from there, doesn't it? You don't take when that baby is an infant and you say, oh, they cried and so I spank them. No. You see, it progresses, doesn't it? As their understanding of what you're telling them progresses, then so does the punishment for that. And when they get to the place to where you know that they know what you told them, and yet they defiantly do it, then it requires something else, doesn't it? And the reason for that is, dear ones, I think about it this way. If there's a pot of water boiling on the stove, you want that child to have learned obedience to where when they come up and they start reaching for that, you can say, no, don't touch that. And they know what no means. And so they back off. Why do you do that? Because you don't want them to pull that pot of boiling water on them because it would forever scar them. Do you see, dear ones, there's things in sin that will forever scar people. The Lord can forgive you, but there's things that will scar your life that you'll carry throughout the rest of your life. And God in His great love and His mercy has given scriptures. He's given counsel and instruction that's designed to help you to avoid those places. Because He doesn't want you to go through life bitter. Do you know there's a lot of bitterness in our world today because of broken homes and betrayals and things like that? The scriptures that talk about humility and forgiveness and all those things. And you say, I don't want to do that. They've done me wrong. Do you know what they're designed for? They're to keep you from being marred forever. They're because God wants His love to abide within you. And that's from the principle. Do you know when God created mankind, He did it in a way to teach us these principles. He gave the family for that purpose. Now I want to say to the young parents, if you are spanking your children for any other reason besides a sincere love and concern for their souls, you're out of line. And I can tell you that in the fear of God. If you do it because they hurt you or they embarrassed you and you spank them because of that, you're out of line. If you take and you spank your children because I want everybody to know my child's not going to be that way, I'm going to tell you you're out of line. That's pride. Do you see what I'm saying? The only reason that you and I should give that kind of correction is because of a sincere love for their soul, and I don't want this to happen. It's not because of any kind of feelings or emotions or upset because of what I'm doing, because if I am, I'm out of line. And you know, dear ones, it's the same way with the people of God. Do you know, dear ones, we should never try to take and put judgment on someone else because of any other reason than the sincere love for their souls. I want that, and I'm willing to take and go the second mile. You know, it's the same with our companion. It's the same with everything else, dear ones. It's because it should always be because of a sincere love for their souls. And I'll be willing to take the first wrong because of that. But I'm going to tell you, if we're doing it because you hurt me, you embarrassed me, you did something and I want people to know that you're wrong, the Lord is looking on the heart and He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I'm going to tell you, you're out of line. Do you see? Because everything that God does is based on this principle of love. With this foundation laid, I'd like to ask you a question now. What is the motive behind what you do? What you say, how you act, how you react. When you begin to put that in comparison to God's motive, and you look at what God does, and you look at what you do, I want to ask us this morning, what is the motive behind our actions, our words, our reactions? Is it a carnal reaction? Or is it based on the principle of God is love? Do you see what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if we're responding from a carnal standpoint, we're not going to see God as a God of love. We're going to have a different perspective of the laws of God. And my burden and my concern this morning is I'm afraid that far too many people have listened to the enemy of their souls, and they've allowed things to creep into their hearts and their lives to where they have a different perspective of God than those that know and are acquainted with the wonderful love of God. And my burden this morning, dear ones, is that if that's the situation that you're in, and you've gotten hurt, you've gotten offended, you've listened, and you've gotten to the point where I don't know what the saints teach, I don't want that. My burden this morning is that you would get a different vision of who God is. My burden this morning is that you would be able to behold the wonderful love of God as a loving heavenly Father that cares for you, that gave His Son to die for you, that's willing to take and help you in everything of your life. Because, dear ones, that's what it's going to take. I want to look at a scripture that the thought that I wrote on the board is based on. It's in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, in the 5th verse. 1 Timothy 1 and 5, it says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart. Who is God? He's pure. He's righteous. His laws are pure. They endure forever. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith toward God." Do you know the Apostle Paul had just finished instructing Timothy on some precious truths? If you go back through this chapter and you begin to look at those. And he gave him several instructions, and then at the conclusion of all of that, he said the end of the commandment is charity. All of these things, Timothy, that I'm teaching you, the purpose, the whole reason, the end of it, what God wants with it and what He's intending is because of this. He said the end of the commandment is charity. Do you know everything that you hear from this pulpit, I trust, will be from this principle. The end of it. The whole purpose of it all is charity. Because the foundation must be God. Do you know, I'm afraid that many people today are like Adam and Eve. They know what the commandments are. They're very clear of what God instructed. But they fail to really comprehend who God is and why He gave what He did. Why He requires what He requires. When you look at Adam and Eve and you see the story of what happened here, dear ones, it's a story that was given to teach you and I some very valuable lessons. If you look in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and since we're all familiar with this, I'm not going to read all this. I'm just going to paraphrase. But dear ones, Satan came to Eve and he asked her. Now I want you to get a hold of this. The first thing he did when he came to Eve, he said, "Has God said that you can eat of every tree of the garden?" Why did he ask that? Satan is evil. His purpose is to destroy you. He didn't come for any good. And in order to accomplish his purpose, he had to know that Eve fully understood the commands of God. Sin is a willful transgression of the law. God does not hold you guilty for something that you don't know. But dear ones, Satan came to Eve and he said, "Has God said you can eat of all of these?" He established the groundwork at first. And when she said, "God told us we could eat of all the trees of the garden, but the tree in the middle of the garden there of good and evil," he said, "you do not eat of it and you do not touch it lest you die." Now Satan was in a place to be able to accomplish what he wanted. And then he began to come in and he began to do what he does with you and I today. "Well, now you know you're not surely going to die. That I know God told you that, but that's not going to happen." Do you see? Satan's purpose is, first of all, to make sure you understand what God said, and then he begins to get us to question, well, is it really right? Does God really require that? Is it necessary? And so he began to attack Eve. Now I want you to know something. You know, I hear people say, well, Eve's the one that sinned. And if she hadn't have done this, we wouldn't have been in this mess. Do you know it's important for us to understand why Satan attacked Eve? Because it's going to happen in our lives as well. Satan attacked Eve because Adam was not fully convinced, and I'm just telling you my theory of this, Adam was not fully convinced that he wouldn't die if he ate that. And so when you look at this, you know, men are they're visual. God created us all just like he did. They're visual and they go off of facts. Things are just, it's black and white. There's no gray area. This is what it says and this is what's going to happen. And so it's just this is the way it is. Women, on the other hand, are emotional. And they are swayed by feelings and compassion. And there's things that, and God made them that way. And so it's easier for them to overlook the facts out of compassion and mercy or desire to please. Do you see? That's the way it is with children, isn't it? Sometimes in raising children, a husband will say, this is it. They did it wrong. And they need this. And the wife of some come by and say, well, I know they did, but let's have a little bit of mercy. Do you see? Now, they don't do that, hopefully, in front of the children. But you see, God put us together because he had a perfect unit. And so what happened was Eve, because of her nature, Satan went to Eve because he knew that if he could appeal to her feelings and her emotions, then if he could convince Eve to take a bite of that, and she didn't die, he had a very good chance of getting Adam. Because you know what's going to happen? Remember I said men are, this is it, it's fact. God said if you eat it, you're going to die. And if Satan could get Eve to take a bite of that because of her emotions and what he took advantage of, then he had a very good chance of getting Adam. I want to tell you this morning, dear ones, Satan knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. And he will exploit those weaknesses in his intent to try to destroy us. Young couples, it'd be wise for every one of you to remember how God created you. There's reasons why God placed the husband and the wife in the body as he did, and we heard about it this morning, and the responsibilities that he's given for the husband as the head of the house. It's not because he wanted somebody being domineering. He wants, dear ones, our decisions of right and wrong to be based on facts. You see what I'm saying? And so he put the responsibility of the home squarely on the man first. You get a hold of the laws of God. You take these, you get them in your heart, and you need to have a real vision of what God said is right and wrong. Dear ones, when it comes to that, we need to do it. Men, I want to encourage you to be the man that God wants you to be. Get a hold of these truths. Remember, they're designed to help you to be able to make heaven, to be successful in your homes, in your marriages. But when it comes to where it's not a matter of right and wrong, you better listen to your wife. That compassion, that mercy, we need that. Do you see? You have God, a God of holiness and righteousness, but in his great love, he sent his son who died for us. Do you see how he blended that together? He did it in the home. I'm going to tell you, if we'll take the principles of truth that are in the Word of God, it'll help us to be successful in our homes. But the devil is trying to destroy that. Oh, dear ones, my burden this morning is that you recognize that our God is a God of love. Everything that he does is based on that. But I'm going to tell you, Satan will do everything within his power to hinder you and I from being able to make heaven, to cause us harm, to destroy us. I don't have time this morning, but I'm going to tell you, there's things the enemy will use, just like he did that. Do you know Job's wife? The enemy used her to try to destroy Job. After he had lost everything that he had, his children, his flocks, his herds, all of that, And the devil was there, no doubt accusing him and bringing all kinds of thoughts and accusations. And on top of that, the enemy looked and he saw the sensitivity, the vulnerableness of Job's companion. And so he came, and what did she say? Dost thou? You're going to hold your integrity? After all of this, just curse God and die. Now, dear ones, I want us to remember something. We talk about Job. Job's wife went through the same things that he did, except for the boils. She lost all of her children. She saw everything of their livelihood being gone. You remember, she is a very emotional person, and the enemy knew that. And so he began to apply on that. And as a result, where do you think those words came from? I am convinced that Job's wife never meant to say anything to harm Job. But in her emotional distress, what came out. Dear ones, this is what I want us to get a hold of. As you look through the scriptures, you will find where Satan has used different ones to try to hinder the people of God. And dear ones, he'll do that with you and I. His purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and he will use us to be an offense to our brother if he can. But we need to remember this principle. Everything that we do in life, everything that God gave us, it ties back to the principle of God is love. If we get outside of that, dear ones, we're going to face problems. I think about Bathsheba. I think about others. Even Peter himself was an offense to the Lord. And he told him, he said in one place, he said, "Get thou behind me, Satan." Why? Because Christ was talking about the suffering that he was going to go through. And what did Peter do? He rebuked him and said, "Don't say that." Do you know, I'm convinced Peter didn't mean it to harm the Lord. But he was looking on it from the human standpoint. And dear ones, he had no idea what Christ was going through. Christ knew what he was going to face. He knew the death of the cross. He knew the suffering. And when he was there in the garden, he said he wept, as it were, great drops of blood. The weight of all this was on him. And on top of this, here comes Peter saying, "Lord," he began to rebuke the Lord. Do you know, dear ones, Lord, help us. I say this, Peter loved the Lord. Do you believe that? He said, "I'll go with you. I'll go to death with you." He even cut the man's ear off. But still, the enemy was able to use him to be a hindrance, to try to be a hindrance to Christ. Had Christ just said, "You know what, Peter? It's more than I can take. And I just throw up my hands." Do you know Peter would have been responsible for causing the Lord? He would have felt that. It would have been Christ's decision. But you see what I'm saying? Dear ones, what I want us to understand this morning is we're facing an enemy that hates us. And we at the best that we can do, we need the grace and the mercies of God to help us to know how to live according to the principles and precepts of the Word of God, or we'll find ourselves being a hindrance to our fellow man. And that's not what God wants. What I want us to know is God loves us and He wants us to do the same with every other soul. He wants you and I, whether it's your companion, your children, in all that you do, dear ones, He wants our motive to be based on the same principle that He has, that God is love. My question to you again this morning is, what is the motive of your actions, of your decisions in life? What is the very purpose of why you're doing what you're doing? You say, "But they wrong me. These people hurt me, and I'm going to say some things that I'm going to expose them for what they are." Is that the motive that God had? Do you know, Brother Marty, I'm so thankful that when something happens to us, that if Brother Marty gets in trouble and he stumbles, the Lord's not saying, "Well, I'm gonna chastise him because of what Brother Curtis thinks." You see what I'm saying? I'm so thankful that God's not that. When God deals with Brother Marty, it's going to be because of His love for his soul. Do you see, dear ones, That's what it has to be with us too. And so my challenge to us this morning, and I don't know why the Lord gave it to me the way he did. It's a simple message, but I'm going to tell you, I feel very inadequate to bring it out like God has laid it on my heart. But I want you to note this morning that God is love. His whole purpose in all that he does is based on that. Don't let the devil tell you anything else. Whatever the Lord sends your way, you recognize it's the mercies of God. It's his love, and I want to get from it what he has. And then, in your individual life, if you'll do that, the Lord will help you to have that same principle deep within your own soul. And everything, every interaction with your family, your co-workers, and everyone about will be based on that, because the love of God is perfected within our hearts. Dear ones, those are things we can't do without the love of God. We're going to have it perfected in our hearts. And if you go to the scriptures, it talks about how if we keep his commandments, he said, I'll come and abide. You can't have the power of the Holy Spirit working in your lives if you're disobeying the commandments of God. You're going to have to yield to his will. If you don't remember anything else from this morning, I want you to remember the end of the commandment is charity. Everything that he does is based on that. Appreciate your attention this morning.